Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Vicky Pepper, thank you very much for the traffic update there. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. rolling along till 7 o'clock. Interesting day in baseball. Padres have signed Jerks and Profar. Three-year contract, $21 million, and of course, the Padres made the announcement just a couple of weeks ago that Jesse Agler will be the new full-time play-by-play voice of Padre baseball.
Can we get this man
proud
of
him and happy
please.
To have him on the program. Hello, Jesse Agler. We've had a lot of plaudits for Tony Gwynn Jr. on this particular show. It's good to have his partner in crime on with us as well. So congratulations to you. I know that a lot of people, and you had some wonderfully kind things to say about Ted Leitner when that announcement was made. But I think the focus was on Ted Leitner, and that maybe it should be, but it shouldn't be forgotten that this is, I'm sure, a dream come true for you and an opportunity very well earned, my friend. So congratulations.
Well, thanks, Chris, first of all. Very nice words. And, yeah, it was definitely it is and was definitely all about Ted, and it should be. I think what he accomplished in this town is like the borderline impossible thing to do. You know, I mean, he thrived and survived and entertained and informed in like every imaginable way in our business. And you know, you've done a lot of different things here. Most of us have done a lot of different things in our career. It is really hard to do like one thing sort of well. Ted did a lot of things really, really well. And did it differently. He did it his own way, all of it. Did that rankle some people at times? Of course, he knows that. He loves talking about that. But that's what makes Ted different. And, like, I don't know. Like, for me, I'd rather a guy like that than, you know, someone boring who just sounds like everybody else. You know, he's just a spectacular talent. And the one thing that maybe, because he's moved into this beloved phase now where we're all just talking about how wonderful he is, and obviously that's true, and it is very much what we feel, but, like, he is a hell of an announcer. He really is. And he is a brilliant guy. Like, his mind is a trap. It's incredible. I'll see him read something at 4:30 p.m. and not write it down and then regurgitate it at 8:45 p.m. in the fifth inning. And he gets it right word for word. And I'm like, man, I would have had to write that down three times to try and remember. Like, there's no, and he's like a steel trap. It's incredible. A wonderful announcer, a wonderful partner. And I'm very, you know, excited for him to move on to this next phase. I hope he enjoys it, you know, at least half as much as he enjoyed the last one. Tony and I will do our best to take it from here.
One thing that you are going to miss about Ted, just last question about Ted before we move on to some Padres stuff. What's one thing you're going to miss about working with him on an everyday basis that you did?
I'll say this, Tony, you're one of my favorite people in the world. You don't make me laugh the way he does. Okay. So if we could work on that, that was, if you could become like really funny in the next, you know, few months, that would be great because he would crack me up. I'm talking off the air, by the way, like on the right. Air, we'll be fine. But off the air, here's the thing. Like for anyone who's ever listened to Ted do a baseball game or do a talk show, if you think that that stops when you go to commercial, let me tell you, it does not. It continues and in many cases ramps up when you go to commercial. So those, you know, everybody talks, Tony, for you and I about, oh, we got to fill shoes. This is filling shoes. Really, the shoes I'm most concerned about filling are the ones that take place in the 90 seconds between innings
right,
when he would have me
right.
Rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah, he is funny. I'll tell you, there's no question about that. Jesse Agler's with us, Padres broadcaster. And Jesse, before we move into the Padres real quick, just some I know you played a little bit before your time, not totally before your time, but just when you hear about the passing of Henry Aaron and just your thoughts on his impact on the game of baseball. We tried to put it in perspective, gave it our best shot. It's almost impossible to do so.
It is. I think as significant of an American figure as he was a ball player, and anytime you can say anything like that about somebody, it should give you a pretty good pause and, you know, a moment to think about just how important of a human being he was to fight through everything he did. I remember reading about, you know, when I was a kid, I guess, maybe a preteen or a teenager, you know, what he had to deal with while chasing down 714, you know, while chasing down Babe Ruth's home run record. And it just seemed inconceivable to me in my, you know, naivete as a 12-year-old or whatever, you know, that someone could be, even in the 70s, and I know the 70s weren't exactly the most enlightened era ever, but, you know, it seemed recent. It was recent, you know, when I was reading this in the early 90s, I guess it would have been. And it really just struck me how scary it must have been. And, you know, for him to just continue to put on the brave face, for his family to have gone through everything they did, I guess really all you need to know is what everybody is saying today. You know, some of the most significant figures, not only in baseball history, but in sports history, you know, coming out and sharing their admiration for Henry Aaron and what he did, again, not just as a baseball player. And you look at his stats, not as good as anybody who's ever played this game. But what he did, you know, as a human being, what he had to go through, you know, the number of guys who were saying, that's my idol, that's who I looked up to. A guy I used to work with, a very close friend of mine, Sam Madison, is a Pro Bowl cornerback, you know, won a Super Bowl with the Giants, and he's on the Chiefs coaching staff, and he's getting ready to coach, you know, for a second straight year in the AFC Championship game this weekend. And he put on Instagram today a picture of Henry Aaron, and Sam grew up in Tallahassee, which is Braves country, certainly. And he wrote something about how, you know, Henry Aaron was the reason why baseball has always been his favorite sport, the reason why he was an athlete, the reason why he played sports. I mean, you're talking about, again, a guy, a Pro Bowl cornerback, football player, you know, getting ready to coach in the AFC Championship game this weekend, talking about how the reason he wanted to be an athlete was Henry Aaron. I mean, and you're hearing stories like that from every corner of the sports world. He is, again, just as significant as it comes, and by every account imaginable. And my only brush with him was incredibly brief. I tweeted it. I don't need to go through the whole story with you guys. But, you know, I mean, just like the ultimate gentleman on top of everything else.
Yeah, certainly Hank is going to be missed by all of us. Jesse Agler, lead radio voice and my partner, joins us here on 97.3 The Fan, Gwen and Chris. And Jesse, today we find out Jerickson Profar reportedly has signed a 3-year, $21 million deal. I love this move. This is the move I've been expecting the whole offseason. It didn't materialize into now, but I think this puts it adds to the theme of what the Padres have been doing all offseason. Depth, depth, depth.
I mean, it's a championship caliber roster. There's no question about it. I mean, you're going to – you know what's really interesting? This is now – I'm going off on a side tack, so I apologize. But, like, I'm really curious, and I'm sure you and I will talk about this a lot in spring training, how they handle playing time. I hate to say load management, but I will. You know what I mean? Because, like, they're gonna have the opportunity with the depth that they have to really do some things. And, like, a year ago, it would have been unthinkable at this time to talk about Manny getting regular time off or Fernando Tatis Jr. getting regular time off. It maybe isn't the craziest thing in the world now, particularly when you're piggybacking what we think probably will be a 162-game season on top of what was just a 60-game season last year.
Right.
So, you know, I think they are as well set up for that. Forget that. They are better set up for that than any other team in baseball. And the Dodgers are probably the only other team that can make a claim similar. But, you know, I think they'll really be able to, you know, foster a roster, you know, kind of strategy that should help keep guys fresh longer while continuing to win games. You know, this isn't going to be the old-fashioned, like, all right, it's Sunday and you give all your starters a day off because you won on Friday and Saturday. Like, they can win with those guys on Sunday now. Like, they're not going to be, you know, conceding the final game of the series when they do stuff like this. So, and they can, you know, do it based on matchups, everything like that. And Profar obviously is a huge part of that because of his versatility, because of, you know, just sort of the energy he brings no matter the role. And, you know, how many times last year, Tony, did we all talk about how, you know, we don't get to go in the clubhouse, so we don't get a great sense of certain things like we normally would. One thing I had a great sense of last year, even without being able to go down there, was that Jurickson Profar was a glue guy. You know, the Jurickson Profar was one of the guys that seemed to always have everybody smiling. He and Tatis seemed to develop like a very special connection and relationship, and that made everybody better. And that was a big, big positive. So I'm sure, and I know we'll talk to AJ Preller about this move at some point in the next few days, I'm sure that's going to come up. Like how big of a part of his personality and what he brought off the field, you know, was it in terms of the decision to bring him back on a new deal?
Voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler, joins us. That's a nice ring to it.
It does. It sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if he'd been called that quite in that manner before, but I thought I'd throw it out there. Joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse, we had so much fun just the one game I sat in with you in the booth last year talking about the rules of baseball and changing baseball and things that are going to be coming up. And I know you're a fan of a lot of the changes baseball's making, and I know you think about it often. What would you, commissioner for a day, and you know, you can throw a couple of rules in to try and make it more exciting. I mean, I know it's not simple to answer, but what direction would you head?
Yeah. So, I mean, commissioner for a day, first of all, I'm probably like building a brick wall in front of the door of the office so they can't throw me out after a day. I'd be like, oh, give me a week at least, because I got a lot I want to do.
You got a week.
Yeah, Rosenthal, I think, wrote about it today, was it, in the Athletic, you know, some of the things that he wants to see. I like messing around with moving the mound back a little bit. I do think it's insane that we're using the same dimensions that we used in 1893 when the average fastball was, I don't know, like 70 miles an hour or something like that. I mean, it doesn't add up. And I know that the hitters' reflexes are better than they were in 1893, but there's no way they've kept up with the velocity the pitchers are throwing. So I think a small moving of the mound backwards might, you know, be able to even things out a little bit and perhaps induce a little bit more contact. I would really like to see the pitch clock. I just would. I think there's too much time between pitches, too much of the game. I think everybody would adjust to it. I know there would be an awful lot of complaining at the beginning, but I think it would be one of those things that after a month and a half, you'd almost forget about most of the time. So I'd really like to see a pitch clock. You know, the DH, I think at this point I'm resigned to the fact that after last year, it belongs, you know, in both leagues. It really does. I like the 7-inning doubleheaders. You know, they don't make or break my life or anything like that, but I do like them. I thought there was some fun strategy. It also sort of, you know, prevents you from being in a situation where, you know, you could blow your whole staff in one day, which could obviously make things complicated from a schedule standpoint. You know, a lot of the obvious stuff that people have talked about to try and get more contact and more action into the game. One of them that is not talked about nearly enough, though, and I don't know if I've previously brought up either one of you guys, although I probably have because we've had this conversation a couple of times, is one of the things they experimented with in that Atlantic League a couple of years ago that for whatever reason has flown under the radar was that they made it illegal for the pitcher to do a pickoff throw to first base without stepping back off the rubber. And basically, stolen base attempts exploded in that league because all of a sudden you could get a better lead. You could get a better jump. You weren't worried about like those world-class pickoff moves that are all balks anyway, by the way. You could actually put the running game back in. And now all of a sudden, right, you know, the running game has gone out of style because all the analytics tell you, hey, if you're not successful 80% of the time, it's not worth the risk. Well, now you're going to be successful. Your best base runners, at least, your best base stealers, are going to be successful 80% of the time because they don't have to worry about those tricky pickoff moves. You just can't get too greedy over there. And I forget all the numbers because I read this article 2 years ago, but it was something crazy where, like, the stolen base attempts went up, like, 60% or something that season in the league. And I think the stolen base is one of the most exciting things. You have that tension that builds where the pitcher's looking over, and is he going to come home or is he going to go to first? And then all of a sudden the guy takes off, you know, that kind of thing. And the catcher all of a sudden has to be able to have that skill set. I mean, we talked about it a lot here the last couple of years because Hedges was a defensive wizard. But outside of framing, nobody talks about catcher defense anymore because nobody's trying to steal bases anymore. So I think that would be a really exciting one to try. And that's a real simple, easy thing. I mean, just, okay, you have to, if you're going to throw to first base as a pitcher, if you're going to try a pickoff, you got to step off the back of the rubber first. It's not some crazy change to the game. It's not, you know, limiting the number of innings or putting runners on base or anything like that. It's just saying if you're going to try and pick somebody off, you got to step off the rubber. So that's another one that I would definitely jam in there as quickly as possible. And lastly, very long-winded, but I told you I got a week in that office now. Yeah. I want to play with the strike zone. I think the automated yes. strike zone is almost certainly coming in 2022 with the new CBA. I think the umpires have even agreed to like the sort of framework of that deal. And when you have an automatic strike zone, what you're able to do is manipulate it. You can change the shape of it. So year one, hey, all right, maybe we eliminate the top of that strike zone because everybody's like blowing four seamers up past hitters, right? So maybe we bring the strike zone down a little bit so that guys can take those pitches. Maybe that gets the pitchers back in the zone. Maybe that gets some more contact. And hey, if that doesn't work, okay, next year, let's manipulate it a little bit more. All it is dragging a mouse on a screen, I guess. So like, you know, figure out what kind of strike zone works best, you know, to try and create the sort of aesthetic game that we think would be most enjoyable for all the fans.
I had to introduce you to this guy, Tony Gwynn Jr., because he had a really similar idea.
Just force to swing, force to strike throwing a little bit more. Incentivize it. There's all kinds of things you can do, whether it's with the automated or you're doing it the manual way. The zone has got to get smaller, I think. You know, because ultimately the pitch clock to me, I think, can be eliminated if there's more action. Because I think if there's more action, people aren't going to complain as much about the time. But if the game has got no action and the game is long, I mean, it makes for a tough swing. But this brings me to my next question, Jesse, and I know we only got a couple more minutes with you. Theo Epstein steps into this role, and he's been brought in basically to address this matter. I mean, he seems like he's the right guy for the job, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met Theo. You know, obviously, I know he really started his career here with the Padres. And I liked what he said when he stepped down from the Cub job, which was, he took responsibility for a lot of this. You know, a lot of these, you know, aesthetically displeasing changes to the game in the last 25 years have been analytically driven, and he was obviously one of the guys, you know, leading the way there. Look, the comment I've made for the last few years, every time I've brought this up, is it cannot be left to the teams. Because if you're a general manager, your job, or a manager, whatever, your job is to help your team win. Do whatever you can to try and win. It doesn't matter if it looks good. It doesn't matter if it's pretty. It doesn't matter if it's an enjoyable television product. That's not your job. Your job is to play within the rules. You know, same thing with the players. Like, Eric Hosmer's job is not to make sure that his at-bat is enjoyable for everybody watching. It's to get on base. It's to drive and run. That's what he should be worried about. But there needs to be somebody who is worried about that stuff and who has some kind of control and power, and that's got to be the league office. Now, rule changes, I understand. You know, they got to be bargained through the CBA. That's great. We can all, you know, be reasonable adults, hopefully, at some point, and talk these things through and try some things out. But, again, the players, the coaches, the managers, the general managers, they will all exist within whatever bubble of rules you create. You just have to create some rules that are a little bit different, I think, than the ones we have now.
Well, one thing I know for sure, no matter what they do with the game of baseball, the broadcasts are going to be top-notch, and they are going to be exciting. And I got the two guys that are going to be calling the games with us right now, Tony Gwynn Jr. and Jesse Agler. Thanks for the time, Jesse. Have a good weekend,
Thanks,
buddy.
Jesse.
Thank you.
You too, guys. Thank you.
All right, there he is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.